Tonight, the gospel is a sign of the times. Yes. And the gospel messengers are a sign of the times. Now, I want to take some time to look at the scope of the gospel that is talked about in Mark, and then also in Matthew, and then I want to look at who is giving or sharing the gospel in Mark and in Matthew. They're different. And so I wanted to bring that out. So let's go ahead and open up this message in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to share your word. Another privilege, Father. It's always a privilege to be able to teach your word. Thank you for the insight that you've given me, and I go in faith and teach it in the Spirit, Father, that I believe in which it was prepared, and that's the Holy Spirit. And Father, I just pray that if there's anything that's not of you, that it'll be taken out and I won't share it. And Father, if there's anything that needs clarifying, that you'll give it to me as I'm speaking. And Father, I just pray that you're glorified in all of this, and that your saints who are here and hear this on CD or on the computer will be edified and built up in you. Father, your word says that we're not to be ignorant of these things. So thank you for giving us this time and opportunity in this last days to see where we're at and just kind of see the signs of the time as we look at where we are in that prophetic clock. And so we thank you for this, as you have hidden nothing from us. In fact, your word says in Matthew that we should shout it on the rooftops. So Father, may we be equipped so we can share this information with others so that they too may have the knowledge you would desire, and for them to apply it in wisdom in their lives as we desire to apply it as wisdom in our lives. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. All right. So, last week, we talked about how we're in the midst of the great falling away, particularly as we looked at the 21 to 28-year-olds, and I only picked those out because those are the emerging adults. So those are the ones that are going to be leading the next generation. And we saw how like less than 2% of those who were raised in evangelical homes actually live by biblical principles. They've essentially turned Christianity into a mere religion. It's something they do, but it's not something that they are. And we see that that has resulted from the breakdown of the family, and it's mainly because society is now raising our children, and our children are getting programmed into the global society and into the dependency on government instead of on God. And we see that happening all around the world. We've seen it, you know, in Europe. We've seen it in England. And now it's come to our God-fearing nation, which once was a God-fearing nation. So, we also looked at how one day very soon that biblical principles taught in this country will be soon called hate speech. So we need to be aware of that and be ready for the persecution and to be in prayer prepared for that. We also looked how God wants none to perish. And there will be one last revival. And it's during the 70th week of Daniel. And we got a glimpse at the 144,000 Jews who were sealed to share the gospel. And we looked at Revelation 7. And we went all the way through Revelation 7. But tonight what we're going to look at it is it's not just the 144,000 Jews that have helped to bring in the great multitude of tribulation saints. It's also how there's going to be two witnesses and there's going to be three angels. Two witnesses share the gospel, and three angels are going to share the gospels as well as the gospel as well as warnings. And so we're going to look at that, because what I want to look at tonight and for us to get solidified in our minds, because we're probably not going to go through verse by verse Revelation just because of time, so please read it on your own. But there's going to be some gaps, and the big gap that's going to be left if we don't cover it tonight is just who was touched by the gospel, what gospel was it, what was the scope of that gospel, and who gave it. Because we saw how the tribulation saints are brought in, tonight we're going to see how there's an end time harvest. And when those tribulation saints were there singing their song of thanksgiving and honor and power to God, that it was because of the gospel that they had received. That end times gospel. But we, as the church, have the gospel that needs to be shared first so that the fullness of the church can come in. So we're going to look at those two. I believe that the church gospel, if you will, is presented in Mark, and that we're going to look at Matthew as how it's the end time gospel. And we'll see the differences and contrast in all of that. All right, and we're going to read some very familiar passages one more time tonight. And that's on the handout there. As we look at Mark, I believe it's 13:8 through 14. So we're going to continue on our interlude, and we're going to review the signs of the time, and we're going to see how the New World Order is by God's design. And we see that lawlessness is still being restrained. And who is doing this? The body of Christ, which is us here on earth. And the Holy Spirit that's residing in His body. And we're to occupy until God comes for us, as we looked at Luke 19:13 last week. Therefore, we need to rejoice as our redemption draws near. But that should give us that sense of urgency to share the good news of Jesus Christ that He has given us. You know, accept Christ. You know, we're saved by grace through faith. Take this gift of faith. He died for your sins. He rose again. Right? He lives, therefore we live. And then He lives in us. And we are a child of God. That's the gospel that we share. It's not just that, hey, we've been saved, but we literally have become a child of God and are becoming conformed to the image of Christ. We're going to see that's not the gospel that's preached to the end times. Their gospel is going to be, hey, the kingdom is coming. Accept Christ. Have faith unto death. And you will participate in the first resurrection. But the options are over as far as getting to heaven. It's going to be, yes, Christ died for your sins, but you're not going to be raptured. There's only one way to get to heaven now, and that's to die for your faith. That's this gospel that Matthew talks about. In Mark, it talks about the gospel, which I just shared as the church. Matthew talks about this gospel. And we're going to look at the differences in a lot of detail. And we're going to see how Mark is talking to the Gentiles and to his church to bring in the fullness of the Gentiles. Who is Matthew always talking to? The Jews. And how, look, it's almost like Jesus is saying, I know you're stiff-necked. I know you're probably not going to take it the first time. So be prepared for that second time. However, at the end of it, he says, but look, you can escape all these things. Because the rapture is going to precede all of these things. So it's interesting how the Lord works as we compare and He communicates in Mark as well as Matthew. So, we still have the Great Commission to fulfill, just as Jesus commanded us to do. And I believe that He doesn't speak idle words. I've read many commentaries, including Chuck Smith, where he said that the Lord doesn't have to depend on us to share the gospel because He's going to do it with angels and all that. Well, I believe that's true, but that's talking about the end times. I believe that He does depend on us to fulfill the Great Commission in order for the fullness to come in of the Gentiles so that the rapture will occur. So, pray about it. Be Bereans, search the Scriptures yourself, but I'm going to present it as how the Lord has put it in my heart. So, He doesn't speak out of words. Mark 13:10 says, and the gospel must first be preached to all nations. That's what Jesus told us. That was part of the three-part commission, right? In Mark, He says, go and preach the gospel to all creatures, right? Then He said in Luke, go and teach repentance and remittance of sin. And then He says in Matthew, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Three-part Great Commission. He doesn't waste any of those parts. Why does He tell us to do that if it wasn't a plan for us to fulfill as a church is concerned? Now, who knows when it's fulfilled? I mean, who knows what, you know, Paul said that he had taught to all of the known world at the time. I mean, as far as we know, we may have reached the whole world and we're just waiting for that last Gentile to come in. But we need to keep pressing on. So, I do want to look at the compare and contrast the Olivet Discourses because the Olivet Discourses are presented in Mark 13 and Matthew 24. Remember, Luke is not considered part of the Olivet Discourse because it preceded that dissertation, if you will, that He gave to His disciples, the four disciples that were with Him on the Mount of Olives. But Christ uses His suffering servants in Mark to share the gospel. And we're going to see in Matthew that God uses His special messengers. So, who's sharing the gospel is truly a sign of the times. It's the last day versus the end times. Next week, what we're going to do is we're going to look at the ecumenical church and why they kill the saints all during the first half of the tribulation. So we'll be looking at how the New World Order is going to be moving forward through the tribulation period by the, the ecumenical church. You want to know who's martyring all these saints in the first 3.5 years? The church itself. The unfaithful church. The woman riding the beast. The one who is seeking power and privilege from the Antichrist. That's who's going to be making martyrs out of these saints. So we will cover that next week. All right, so let's go ahead and take a look at this. The Olivet Discourse, contrast, Mark 13 and 24. So you guys have the handout. So I'll read the handout. It says, to bring in the fullness of the church, Jew and Gentile, Mark 13, 8 through 13. Now, I read this last week, but now I want to contrast it with what we're going to read here in Matthew. Mark 13, 8 through 13 says, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. But watch out for yourselves. Now, where I've highlighted it and underlined it, that's where we're going to see the contrast on the next slide. So I've highlighted these. These are not in the Bible. They're not bulleted or highlighted or bolded. All right, so this is just for my emphasis because that's what I use to pull out on the next slide. But watch out for yourselves, for they will deliver you up to councils. You will be beaten in the synagogues, and you will be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. Sounds like what he had said earlier, right? You know, that we must share the gospel with all creatures, right? And he said that in, I didn't give you the quote on that. That was Mark 16:15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. 11. But when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak. But whatever is given you in that hour, speak that. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Now brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all men for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. So I believe again that this is to bring the fullness of the church in, and the fullness of the church is both Jew and Gentile. Now, so these are our marching orders that he's given us for the last days, and they're given to us by Christ himself. He's basically saying, hey, you guys in the last days, you see the buds coming on the trees? Have that sense of urgency. This is what you're to do. Now, let's look at Matthew 24, 7 through 14. Well, what I have here in my notes is that this is to bring in the full number of the tribulation saints, and that would be both Jew and Gentiles. It focuses on this kingdom gospel. And what is this kingdom gospel? Repent, the king is coming, be faithful unto death. All right, so Matthew 24, 7 through 14 says, as we contrast it with what we read in Mark, for nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. Quite a few subtle differences here as you read through this. And what I have done at great pains and undertaking has reconciled these things. Actually, it was quite a joy as I went through this. As I just picked through here and I just looked at the contrast that were given us. First, over here in Mark, the scope of the gospel. 13:8 through 13, the gospel. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ, as I had explained to you. Right? He died for our sins. We're under grace. Right? We're saved by grace through faith. And it's a gift from God, that faith. To who? Who's the gospel to be given to? He says that we're going to give it to rulers and kings. Why? Because we're going to try to convince those leaders, because if they get converted, guess what? Others will follow. Right? So we're giving it to rulers and kings. What's its purpose? Well, it says in there that it's as a testimony for His namesake. So literally, it's a testimony of Jesus Christ. What's its priority? It's the first thing that must happen. It says, but first, the gospel must be preached. Warning. What's the warning He gives them? Watch out for yourselves. You're going to be persecuted. They're going to bring you into synagogues. They're going to beat you. And so, be careful. Remember, this goes along with, hey, if they persecute you in one city, flee to another city. Right? How's it given? By the Spirit's indwelling. Don't worry about what you're going to say. Don't worry about any of that, because the Holy Spirit's going to be speaking through you. Basically is what it says. When? It's going to be given up to the beginning of the sorrows until the rapture occurs. Remember, the buds are on the branches, not full leaves. Remember we learned about that in Luke? Here, as those buds start coming, we see the beginning of sorrows. We know that our time draws nigh, according to Luke 21. So we'll be given this clear up until He takes us home in the rapture. The beginning of the sorrows. False prophets and deceit are not emphasized in these passages. It is later in Mark, just like in later in Matthew, it's going to be emphasized more. But as far as the talking about the gospel and what they're to do, false prophets and deceit are not emphasized. Who's the truth offend? Families, individuals. It says here, parents are going to come get you, brother against brother. So you're offending individuals. First and foremost, your family members, the ones closest to you. All right? What's the culture? Lawlessness is already at work. We know that it's getting worse and worse, but the restrainer is still here. He hasn't taken us out because the rapture hasn't occurred yet. We're still here. All right? We're hated by all men. For His namesake. They hated Him. They're going to hate us. As the culture turns more and more lawless, we're going to be hated by more and more people. The result, some are going to be killed for their faith. So He said, some are going to be beaten, some are going to be killed, essentially is what He's saying. But endure to the end. Endure to the end, either as you're facing that situation, don't deny Him as you're going through these things, or until the rapture occurs. Essentially what it's saying. Endure to the end, saved by the rapture. Then, there's nothing else for His church. It just stops there. Okay? Then what happens? Well, there is. That's it. Then comes the abomination of desolation. It says, look out, because here comes the abomination of desolation. And that we know is to the Jews and the people that were left behind. It says, because those who read this understand. So there's nothing else for the church to do. Why? Because we're gone. Amen? All right. So now, it was written to His suffering saints, occupy till He comes, be His ambassadors. Who does Mark write to? The Romans. Writes to the Gentiles. Yeah, he's going to be writing to the Jews too. He's literally writing to the church as a whole. In fact, where was the national church established? By Constantine. In Rome, right? By the Romans. They think Jesus knew this at the time. Right? Just a thought. The tribulation, okay, it says, what are we to do? Share the gospel and bring in the church. Bring in the fullness of the Gentiles, bring in the church. It's also going to be shared with the tribulation saints, Jew and Gentile. All right? Now, how's it going to be shared with the tribulation saints? They're going to know of what we have spoken. Because as we have shared and they have turned it down, they will have heard it. And when we're gone, I believe that's going to give them pause for the cause, so to speak. All right? Now, this is also written to the tribulation saints as far as what are they going to do next? Flee, right? When you see the abomination of desolation coming, flee. That's for the Jews. For the Gentiles, then it's presented there as be faithful. So, to the Jewish remnant, it's flee to Petra. And then we're going to see that he sends his angels for his elect. And this is Mark 13:27. We're going to see that Mark also talks about the end time harvest. About how in 13:27 that he's going to send angels to collect his elect. And the elect are the tribulation saints and the Jews who are faithful unto death. Okay? But again, the focus isn't on those. That gospel was us sharing the gospel for the church. And sharing so that people, when they hear it after we're gone, will go, oh, that's what they meant. See, they told me about that. And then when they hear it, if you will, by the 144,000 Jews, this next gospel, because they don't have the opportunity to participate in grace by faith anymore, they have the opportunity to participate in grace by death, so to speak. Right? Yes, it was finished at the cross. And they had the opportunity to participate in that. We cannot add anything to salvation, but now they have an added responsibility. They're going to have to believe unto death in order to participate in the first resurrection. Amen? They don't have any other options because they missed out on the number one, right? They have the permissive will now. All right? You wouldn't listen, you wanted to do it your way? Well, here's your last chance, so to speak. Okay. Now where the good part comes in, where we contrast it. So, the scope of the gospel in Matthew 24:7-14. Who's this gospel to? Or this gospel? This is this gospel of the kingdom. And what is that? That is, what's my notes here? This gospel refers to what was said previously. What was said previously in all of this, it says, they'll deliver you up to tribulation and you will be killed. But those who endure to the end will be saved. Martyrdom appears to be the crux of this gospel, second only to have faith. Accept Christ, have faith, but endure to the end. Alright? Who's this given to? The tribulation saints. Specifically to the tribulation saints. Why? Because they're starting off saying, you will be killed. Doesn't have any options there. So they're going to be, you're going to go through tribulation and you'll be killed. If you believe, you're going to go through tribulation and you're going to be killed. It isn't saying watch out for yourself. Doesn't say, hey, somebody's going to, you know, going to beat you or whatever. It says you're going to be killed. There's no other options. What's the purpose of this gospel? For their own salvation. What's the purpose of the gospel we share? We accepted the gospel, but now we all have the ministry of reconciliation to bring others in. What's the purpose of their gospel? To receive it and be faithful unto death. Because they're not sharing the gospel. Who's sharing the gospel? The 144,000 Jews, the two prophets that we're going to look at, and the three angels. Actually, one angel sharing the gospel and two giving warnings. Okay? How's it given? God's special witnesses. When? After the seven seals are opened. And why do I say that? Over here, it says, in the beginning of sorrows. When you see these things, it's the beginning of sorrows. What does it say here, back on your paper though? When does this start? Wars and rumors of wars. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. What is that describing? The six seals that have been opened by the wrath of the Lamb of God. Didn't mention anything about pestilence in Mark. In fact, it's just kind of really vague in general. But here it's like it's giving you the whole list of the six seals that have been opened. And then it goes on to talk about how all these things are going to take place. Then you know the time has come. Again, in Mark it says, when these things begin, be ready. All right. So, when the seven seals are open, the false prophets and deceit, they said there's many and much. What does it say there as far as false prophets and deceit? It says, verse 11, then many false prophets will raise up and deceive many. It says, then many false prophets will be raised up and deceive many. All right? Again, Mark doesn't mention anything about this. Why is that so important? Because when the false prophets are coming, and when it's really at the tempest of, is during the time of the tribulation period. Not beforehand. Not before the rapture. Yeah, there's going to be people who come and say they're going to do this and do all that. But there's going to be tremendous signs and wonders and those kind of things that are going to happen during the Great Tribulation. And during the tribulation, it says, in fact, even the elect would be deceived if it were possible. So this is saying, hey, this is all set in that tone that, hey, this is happening during the tribulation period. This is happening after the six seals have begun to be opened. You see my point? Mark was before the six seals are being opened because the rapture happens. And this is after the six seals are opened because it's talking about the things that are going to go on after the tribulation begins. See my point? So two different gospels. Who's the truth offend? Many. Right? It says many are offended, not just your family. It's not just going to be your brother and your sister raising you up. They're going to be fighting with one another. Right? They're going to hate you. Everybody's going to hate you. Many are going to be offended by it. Culture. Lawlessness abounds. This is the key. Lawlessness abounds. When and only when can lawlessness abound? When the restrainer has been removed. Yes, we've seen in Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, yes, that lawlessness is underway, but it's not abounding. It's not multiplying. It's getting worse, but when it says lawlessness is abounding, that means the restrainer's gone. That's the only way it could abound, because it says in the Bible, many passages, that as long as the restrainer's here, that can't happen, right? Lawlessness, we're going to restrain that. That's why they call it the restrainer. But now lawlessness abounds. So after the restrainer is removed, so this is to encourage the tribulation saints to endure to the end. Then they shall be saved as martyrs, and this gospel of the kingdom is preached. So, who are they hated by? Not just by men, individuals, but by all nations. Why? Because the Antichrist is now in control of the nations. They're not just hated by individuals, men per se, as it says in Mark, but they're hated by nations. Globally, they're hated. Anyone who believes when the Antichrist is in charge is going to be hated globally. All right? You think we got it bad now? That's why they call it tribulation and the Great Tribulation, right? The result, all are killed for their faith. All are killed. The end time harvest. The Lord, one like the Son of Man, we're going to read, hopefully, going to put in his sickle and reap the harvest. And that's when we see those tribulation saints standing there in great multitudes. In chapter 5, it says, how long do we have to wait, O Lord? We want vengeance. And he says, till your full number comes in. This is all part of that full number coming in. Tracking with me? And it's being described here in Matthew. Not in Mark, but in Matthew. Just because of the verses, how they're laid out, and the subtle differences, gives us this clarity that this is talking about the tribulation gospel. What are they going to do? Endure to the end. Saved by martyrdom. And then it finishes with, then the end will come. There was nothing after Mark verses that had to do with the gospel, except when the abomination of desolation, you see that, you know you need to flee because the church is gone. Well, these folks aren't going anywhere until the end times harvest. And then it says, then the end will come. Endure to the end, and then the end will come. What is that end? That end time harvest when they're going to be reaped. And for those who don't accept that gospel, that last chance, their end is going to come at the battle of Armageddon. Right? There's a harvest of wrath, grapes of wrath. Right? There's another harvest that's going to happen after the martyrs are harvested. It's the harvest of God's wrath, and that's when the seven bowls are poured out. Okay? I know we haven't even got through the seven trumpets yet, but I just want to pick all this up so we understand, you know, what gospel's being shared, by who, to whom, at what time. All right? So that we can see that the church is already in heaven, the fullness of the church is there, the rapture's occurred. Matthew, the tribulation saints are there, they're going to get this one last time, and this gospel, it says, this gospel is preached. Notice where it is, if you look at your passages. Where is it at the bottom? It's like the second or third sentence from the bottom says, this gospel will be shared. What does this mean but what has preceded it? So this is the gospel that's going to be preached. Take this chance. Your king is coming. But endure to the end. You'll die for your faith. Yeah. But a lot of differences here if you know, take the time to look through it. And again, I said pray about this. And read it on your own and reconcile it for yourself. So who is this written to? Again, Matthew's written to the Jews. We know that, right? The King of Kings. It's written to the Jews. Jews, believe in Christ. Believe Jesus is your King. Have faith unto death. And you too can participate in this. The Spirit of the Lord is poured out. Believe. If you haven't accepted the gospel of grace, then when the Spirit of the Lord is poured out, after the rapture, we believe like during Ezekiel 38 and 39, it says that the Spirit of the Lord is going to be poured out. That's when all of these messengers come from God. Then accept this message. Don't wait to be the remnant. Be a martyr. Be a tribulation saint because they participate in the first resurrection. Well, what happens to the remnant? They're going to be there in the millennial kingdom, but they're going to be reigned and ruled by all of us that have participated in the first resurrection. They are going to be like the nations that are judged. They're going to be judged as a nation. God has preserved them. They're going to be reigned and ruled by their Messiah. Those who have called out to Him, as it says in Hosea 5:15, that are kept in Petra, in the wilderness, when Satan comes after him, after the abomination of desolation is set up and they flee into the wilderness. The woman runs into the wilderness. All right? They're going to be kept there as a remnant. But that's still not as good as being a tribulation saint. They're merely going to be there in mortal bodies and they're going to live as long as trees. But it's not going to be a glorified body like what we have or like the tribulation saints have. You guys tracking with me? So you have like three categories in heaven with glorified bodies. Old Testament saints, New Testament saints, and the tribulation saints. When we come back to reign and rule with Christ after the battle of Armageddon or come back with Him at the battle of Armageddon, there are going to be people that are going to be mortal. All the ones who passed through the judgment of nations, who didn't die during all this stuff, right? They're going to be reigned and ruled by us. Yeah. And God's going to know who they are, right? And they will not have taken the mark of the beast. Because He's very clear about that. Okay, so, accept this kingdom gospel and be saved. This kingdom gospel, right? So if you didn't make it with the rapture, and you're reading this now, with all this stuff happening, then accept this kingdom gospel now. Then to the Jewish remnant, it says, flee to Petra. He sends His angels for His elect. In 24:31. So again, if they will accept this message, the kingdom gospel, that they will too participate in the end time harvest and be a tribulation saint. If not, they're going to remain as an elect, but the remnant of Israel. Okay? But what I like about Matthew is he goes on. There's a whole another section. Not only is there a section about the fig tree, but then there's a section about be aware. Watch and be aware. One will be working in the field. It'll be two working in the field. One will be taken, one will stay. A man will be working in the field. One will be taken and one will stay. There'll be two women working wherever they're at. One will be taken and one will be one will stay. He's basically saying, look, don't wait for these things. Participate in the rapture. Watch and be ready, for no one knows the day or the hour. Don't wait for this to happen. Be ready. Like it says in Luke, watching and ready, knowing that your redemption draws near. Jews. But does he know their personality? Yeah? Stiff neck? Blind? So they're going to be, they'll have this all laid out for them. So literally, they got the rapture. So Jews got an extra option. Tribulation saints don't have. Huh? His people. That's the, you know, if you will, the bride of the Father. Alright? So they'll have the rapture. They'll have the martyrdom, or they can be a remnant if they don't take the mark of the beast, right? And they flee. They can be a remnant of Israel and still make it, if you will, into the millennial kingdom. They won't be in heaven with us in return. They won't have glorified bodies. But they won't be burning in hell either. Amen? Now, easy for you to see here. Basically, let me turn off this light. Look at that. How's that? There. Okay. Now, let's go read all the stuff that's associated with this now. Now that I've got you convinced about that. Okay. So now, the end times gospel is given by special messengers. All right. We're going to go ahead and go to Revelation 11, 1 through 11. And while you're doing that, I'm just going to review again what we looked at last week. In Revelation 7, we saw last week that the Spirit of the Lord was poured out on Israel and on the world. And we discussed Ezekiel 38 and 39. And then the rapture occurred. And then he sends out his special messengers. And we saw then that 144,000 Jews were sealed by God and sent out to share the gospel. And Revelation 7, 9 through 10 says, after these things, Metatalta, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, people, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. And they sing their song of thanksgiving for God's honor, for God's power, and for His might. And this is a different song than the church sang. And the church was redeemed by the blood of the Lamb through grace by faith. Or through faith. So, after these things includes all of God's special messengers, though. If you just read this, you have the tendency to think, oh, well, it was the 144,000 Jews that brought all the great multitude in. No, that's only a piece of it. Revelation is spread out in different chapters. It's not time sensitive, if you will. So I want to cover all those sections as it talks about this entire group. Next group I want to look at is, let's look at Revelation 11, 1 through 11. And it talks about the two prophets. Because that's going to be part of after these things, is those two prophets. The two witnesses. And it says, then I was given a reed, this is John talking, and a measuring rod. And the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. But leave out the court which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it will be given to the Gentiles. That's kind of like where the Dome of the Rock is right now. I'd say it's given to the Gentiles, right? And they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. That's 3.5 years. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Guess what that is? That's 3.5 years. Okay? If you're looking at 360 day years. Okay? So, for 3.5 years. So the whole time that the 144,000 Jews are going out, we have the two witnesses there as well. Okay? These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. Verse 6. These have the power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. And they have the power over the waters to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. This should sound familiar. There's a couple of witnesses that we've already read about that do these things. When they finish their testimony in verse 7, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom in Egypt. Sodom being a symbol of sin, and Egypt being a symbol of the world. So literally it's like it's become the world and full of sin. Where also our Lord was crucified. So here's a picture of what Jerusalem has turned into. A city of sin and the world. Right? And that's where our Lord was crucified. Verse 9. Then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nation will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to be put into graves. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, make merry, and send gifts to one another. It's going to be like Christmas. They're going to celebrate like Christmas. They're so glad to get rid of these people telling the truth. Because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. All right. So, those are the two witnesses. So, the two prophets. God sends these witnesses. They're going to prophesy for 42 months. So, again, this is all happening concurrent with the seven seals that we're going to read about next week. Actually, we're going to get the seventh. The seventh seal. And we're going to go into the seven bowls of the Lambs of Wrath. And it's also happening at the same time the 144,000 Jews are witnessing. They're given power to bring down fire, seal up rain, as per Elijah the prophet. And they can turn the water to blood and strike the earth with plagues, as per what happened with Moses. All right? Now, Malachi 4:5, as we've referred to many times, clearly states that Elijah will come to usher in the great and dreadful day of the Lord. So I would say that we are solid ground saying that one of these prophets is Elijah. Just because of the things that he does, as well as God said that he's going to precede, you know, the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And this is the great and dreadful day of the Lord is upon them. Okay? Now, the other one could be Moses or it could be Enoch. And I've got a slide I can show you on break, and we can kind of look at Enoch and Moses and see who it might be. But we'll do that here in a few minutes. All right. Now, the 144,000 Jews, they finished their work. We have three angels proclaim the everlasting gospel, warn them about Babylon has fallen, as well as don't take the mark of the beast. Let's go ahead and read Revelation 14, 1 through 13, as we continue on about the gospel. So we now had the prophets, two prophets sharing the gospel. All right? Now, it's not clear what gospel the prophets are sharing. I assume that it's this gospel, this kingdom gospel. All right? Because it didn't say anywhere else other than in Matthew that this gospel was preached during that time. Okay? So I assume that they're sharing that same gospel that the Jews shared, and that is that accept Christ, be faithful unto death, and you'll participate in the first resurrection. Okay? Now, the reason I bring that up is we're going to see that the angel shares the everlasting gospel, which is going to be slightly different. So we have like three gospels let's share during the last days and the end times. Okay, but anyway. So now, the Jews are done. 144,000 Jews are done. 14:1 says, then I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on the mount, on Mount Zion, with him 144,000, having his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the voice of many waters, and like the voice of loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. They sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. Joe, when you get there, I know you're a worship leader, but don't try to learn that song. You're not going to be able to. Stick with the church song. 4. These are the ones who were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. Now, commentaries, when it says redeemed, I don't know if they were killed. I don't know if they were transliterated or raptured. I have a tendency to believe it was like they were raptured, taken when their time was done because they had a seal on them. They were protected. It appears to me it's like what happened with Enoch happened with these 144,000 Jews, because they would not suffer any of the wrath or any of persecution from anyone. Okay? But it says that they were redeemed. So I assume they were just taken up to heaven to be with the Lamb. They were done with their work. If we're in the last days right now, again, something we have to remember is these people are alive today, probably. If they're going to, I mean, they ain't like, they're just like, oh, he just called, just made people from heaven. No, they're going to be raised up as men, right? They're alive today. That's a sign of the time. Think about that. Guess who else is alive today? Probably the Antichrist. But we know who's alive for sure. Jesus Christ. And so are we. Amen? All right. So, and in their mouth was found no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God. All right, so let's talk about the Jews here. Their work is completed. They're redeemed, as it says in verses 1 through 5. They sing a new song that only they can sing before the throne of God. So again, a separate group in heaven. Okay, so now let's go ahead and read about the what the angels do here. 14:6 through 13. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach. Different gospel, the everlasting gospel. And we're going to see what that is here in just a minute. To those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, what's the everlasting gospel? Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and springs of water. Pretty simple. Fear God and worship Him, because He made everything. And another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, the great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine and of the wrath of her fornication. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. Again, that's that wrath of God harvest that is also talked about in Revelation 14, which we won't get into tonight. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. How long are they going to burn? Forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image and whoever receives the mark of his name. Now, we talked about the unpardonable sin. I'd say here's one. You take the mark of the beast, that's unpardonable sin. Why? Because you never accepted Christ to begin with. You didn't participate in the rapture. Now you didn't participate in the second. Now you take the mark of the beast. It's like your heart was so hardened. Amen? And let me just stop there right quick. That's what I forgot to circle it. Let's just stop right there. Okay, so now we had the first angel. He preaches the everlasting gospel. Fear God and worship Him in verses 6 and 7. The second angel warns all the people that Babylon has fallen. She's offered only wrath. Don't turn to her. Don't take the mark of the beast. She has nothing to offer. The third angel warns everyone not to take the mark of the beast to burn forever. All right? Now it talks about the patience of the tribulation saints. Verses 12 and 13. Here is the patience of the saints. This would be the tribulation saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and faith and the faith of Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. That they may die in the Lord. Blessed are they who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Basically, these are blessed are those who are going to be martyred for my sake. All right? And their works will follow them. What's their works? The work of God is believing in the one whom He has sent. They're not here to share the gospel. They're here only to believe unto death. That's the work they had to do. And that work will follow them as they will participate in the first resurrection, and they will be around the Lamb day and night in the temple, taking care of the temple and serving Him. All right? So that is the patience of the saint. It's an endurance, patience. All right. Now, the end time harvest. Let's read just two more verses. Revelation 14 through 16. Here, actually it's three verses. Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, "Thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe." So he who sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. That is when the fullness of the martyrs come in. If you read on to the next part, it talks about, if you have the headings, it says reaping the grapes of wrath. It talks about another angel comes out, and there's going to be another reap. But that reap is going to happen at the battle of Armageddon, where those who did not turn to God. And what's the last sentence there? And the winepress was trampled outside the city, and blood came out of the winepress up to the horses' bridles for 1,600 furlongs. They're talking about what happens at the battle of Armageddon there in verse 20. That's the wrath of God's winepress. So my point was, and the whole what I wanted to share tonight was, that the signs of the time is who's sharing the gospel and what gospel. We're sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, saved by grace through faith. Accept Him. Participate in the rapture. The tribulation saints and the Jews are having a gospel presented to them to believe, be faithful unto death. Accept martyrdom as proof of your faith. See, our proof of our faith is trusting in Jesus. Their proof in their faith is going to be trusting in Him unto death. Well, they're going to be martyred for that. Then the third gospel is the everlasting gospel, which the angels are going to, which that one angel is going to share, and basically is saying, worship God. Right? Fear God and worship Him forever. Don't trust in Babylon. It's your last chance. And don't take the mark of the beast. Then the end time harvest happens, and that's that great multitude that we saw in Revelation chapter 7. Okay? Dear Heavenly Father, we praise You. We love You. We thank You. We thank You for all this information that You're giving us. I pray that it comes with understanding through the power of Your Spirit, and that each and every one of us here will just continue to seek Your Word and seek out understanding it like Bereans as we search the Scriptures. And Father, just thank You for this time of fellowship and this time to learn more about You and the times that we live in, as we truly see the signs of the time. And we should have that sense of urgency, as we are to occupy until You come, but we're to be productive servants as well, Your ambassadors. And so, Father, may You just empower us and enable us to be Your productive ambassadors, because we want to take all those that we possibly can with us, as You would lead, guide, enable, and empower us to do. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.